Elizabeth Beattie is in Hong Kong. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Catherine.
We were talking a couple of weeks ago about these pro-democracy protests in Thailand. Are they continuing and building?
That's right. So since we last talked, the protests in Thailand have well and truly kicked off. You know, tens of thousands of people have taken to the streets in Bangkok and in other Thai cities, kind of following these months of sustained student-led demonstrations. We've seen police use a water cannon and violence to attempt to stifle protests. And then this has subsequently spurred more protesters onto the streets in response to that police action. So recently we've seen another strategy from protesters, which is they've marched to the German embassy in Bangkok to put pressure on King Mahavishnu, who spends most of his time away from Thailand in Germany. So protesters have delivered a letter to the German embassy calling on Germany to investigate the king's dealings and time spent over there. So the German foreign ministry are now looking into its behaviour well on German soil. So the protesters are really getting creative in their approach. And we're certainly, like you've said, we're certainly seeing kind of tactics and strategies evolve over in Thailand.
Are we seeing a similarity to what was happening in Hong Kong for many years, which is a very sort of diverse protest movement without any obvious centralised structure?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're seeing over in Thailand. These protests are being referred to as leaderless protests. Just the images of umbrellas being used to kind of shield against tear gas and hard hats being worn and kind of the quick dispersals of crowds in Bangkok. For us in Hong Kong, you know, this is all very, very familiar. Online too, Thai protesters have explicitly said they're taking inspiration from Hong Kong's protesters. And they're also harnessing social media and using it to kind of create online campaigns to market their pro-democracy demands. And in Hong Kong, these tactics did prove effective in keeping the protests at the front of mind. That is until the national security law came in and kind of had a silencing effect here in Hong Kong.
Well, staying with Hong Kong, another prominent former leader of a group that has been part of the independence campaign has been arrested. What has happened?
Yes, so a 19-year-old Tony Chung, he's the former leader of this group, and they have in the past called for Hong Kong independence. He was arrested earlier this week near the US consulate. Now, Chung's group disbanded before Beijing imposed the national security law, but this hasn't stopped him being scrutinised as an individual under that law. So Chung has appeared in court yesterday, and he was appeared on charges of secession, as well as conspiracy to publish seditious material. And the latest news on this is he has been denied bail. So Chung was reportedly taken away by plainclothes police officers when he was at a coffee shop quite close to the US consulate. And local media have suggested he may be attempting to make an asylum application. And this law kind of comes with a maximum penalty of life imprisonment. It's quite a tough law. But at the moment, we aren't sure what penalty the teenager will receive. Yeah, in Hong Kong, as you can expect, there was kind of outcry about the fact that Chung hasn't done anything violent, but he's still facing the criminal justice system and could face a lengthy jail term.
Are there also concerns also about the protesters who tried to flee to Taiwan by boat, but I think they were arrested at sea? They've been taken to mainland China. Do we have any updates?
In Hong Kong, very dramatic story. And we've seen a kind of campaign with the rallying cry, Bring Them Back. We've seen, I saw a petition recently with signage calling for the 12 to be brought back to Hong Kong. And we're also seeing sympathetic demonstrations in the US and in Taiwan as well. You know, in Hong Kong, we haven't seen protests since this national security law in the way that we once did, but there's definitely a local campaign and posters and signage and messaging to kind of keep this at the front of mind, that people are certainly very concerned about it here in Hong Kong, particularly because one of those arrested is only 16 years old.
Just a minute left, Elizabeth. Japan's new Prime Minister has pledged carbon neutrality by 2050. How big a challenge is that?
Well, I think it's going to be a very big challenge. So Yoshida Suga has kind of come in saying he's going to modernise Japan and make the country more attractive. That's part of his bid to do that. But people are kind of concerned in Japan. There's obviously concern around nuclear power since the Fukushima nuclear power plant meltdown. Japan's current plan it relies on fossil fuels as well as nuclear power. So it's going to require a new plan. But Suga has really said he's going to speed up research and development. Definitely a tough hill to climb. So we'll just have to see what that new plan looks like and what that new strategy is going to appear like.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth Beattie, journalist at Thomson Reuters, based in Hong Kong, and our Asia correspondent.